morning. Good morning to each and every listener of the broadcast, and may I add a very happy new year to every one of you. I'm certainly happy the Lord has permitted me to come to you once again in this new year. Well, not once again in 1979, but for the first time in this 1979, and I hope that I may be able to continue to do so throughout this year. I'd like you to listen to this poem that we may begin our new year off with, a cheerful, positive attitude. It has some applications there that are nice for children to think about and for grown people too. It says, just suppose these things. Suppose, my little lady, your doll should break her head. Could you make it whole by crying till your eyes and nose were red? And wouldn't it be pleasanter to treat it as a joke and say you're glad it was dolly's and not your head that broke? Suppose you're dressed for walking and the rain comes pouring down. Will it clear off any sooner because you scold and frown? And wouldn't it be nicer for you to smile than pout and so make sunshine in the house when there is none without? Suppose your task, my little man, is very hard to get. Will it make it any easier for you to sit and fret? And wouldn't it be wiser than waiting like a dunce to get to work in earnest and learn the thing at once? Suppose that some boys have a horse and some a coach and pair. Will it tire you less while walking to say it isn't fair? And wouldn't it be nobler to keep your temper sweet and in your heart be thankful you can walk upon your feet? Suppose the world don't please you, nor the way some people do. Do you think the whole creation will be altered just for you? And isn't it, my boy or girl, the wisest, bravest plan, whatsoever comes or doesn't come, to do the best you can? And so, dear ones, if we can get that cheerful, positive attitude to do the best we can with what we have to do with, and that we'll just trust God for whatever comes or goes, that he'll work it all out for the glory of God and for our good. Now, some people speak about the conditions in the world being so bad and so wicked and so evil, and you know, there's some truth to that, friends. But as I heard it expressed recently, after all, this is the only world we've got. So rather than worry about these things and fret and fume and fuss and get all disturbed in soul and mind, wouldn't it be better to just trust God with a cheerful attitude and say, Lord, now I don't know what may happen to me this year. I cannot see from beginning to ending what is going to come my way. But I know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And I know that I love you, and I intend to serve you all this year through whatever comes or goes. That is already settled. That is my choice to please God. Wouldn't it be better, friends, to have this attitude rather than to say, well, conditions are so bad that you just can't serve the Lord. I can't live for God. I can't do his will. When was there ever a time when God needed more men and women to let their light shine so that others could see their good works and glorify the Heavenly Father? When ever was there a time that it was more important for us to serve the Lord than right now? I've heard it said that Brother John Wilson, a dear brother in the Lord, used to have a saying that was very good. I like it. Maybe he'd ask someone, do you know what I'm going to be doing next year this time? Well, now that's hard to say, wouldn't it, for us to say, I don't know what I'm going to be, where I'm going to be. Well, he'd tell him like this, I'm going to be serving the Lord. I like that. Praise the Lord. He had it settled that that was one thing he was going to be doing. It didn't matter what else may come or go. He was going to be serving the Lord. Now, I'll tell you another thing I'd like to do this year of 1979. I'd like to be a good fisher for men. Now, the Lord has given every one of us a job to do, and he doesn't intend for us to just sit down and wait for all the world to be changed or altered to suit our own desires or pleasures. But he's given us a job to do. And one of those jobs, or the important job of all, is to be a fisher of men. That's what I want to do. That's what I'm doing today. I'm fishing for men. I'm throwing out the lifeline. I'm sending out the gospel. I'm scattering the seed. And I don't know where alongside the highway and what home, what heart this broadcast message may fall. But I hope it'll find someone, somewhere, or maybe many in different places that will be receptive to the truth, and that you will allow God to work in your heart and life, and you'll actually be caught by the gospel hook. You know, friends, once the Lord gets a working upon your heart, it's hard for you to get away from it. The apostle, well, before he was the apostle, we might say Saul, the persecutor. He was on his way with the letters to persecute the saints, but God spoke to him through Christ. And it said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, let me get to a scripture here. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Matthew 4:18-20. I like that. I don't know if they'd ever heard of Jesus before or not, but he came in contact with these fellows who were fishing, and he just said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Well, they knew how to fish for the fish in the sea, but they learned how to fish for men. And so they just left their nets. Like I say, I don't know if they'd ever heard of Jesus before or not. But he threw out a challenge to them. I'll make something different out of you. I'll make you a real fisher, a real fisherman. Follow me. And so they just left their nets and walked right off, left the ship and whoever else may have been there. And away they went to follow Jesus. Now, down in verses 23 and 24, and Jesus went about all Galilee. Here's what they experienced. Teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Now, wasn't that something for them to see? They saw things which they had never experienced before. And Jesus went about preaching the kingdom of the gospel, and he just healed everybody that came to him, those that had torments, those that were possessed with devils, those which were lunatics. They just really didn't have good sense, good judgment. They were out of their heads, and they were possessed with devils, and some had the palsy, and he healed them. I know those disciples thought, well, it was worth it all. They surely must have thought that. How could they have thought otherwise than to say, well, it was worth it all? We've seen things, we've seen experiences which we never would have known if we had stayed back there fishing, back there on the sea, or back there, excuse me, back there where we were fishing. We never would have known or have seen the things that we have seen. So their lives were enriched. But I'd like you to remember this, they had to leave something. And dear ones, if you're going to be a fisherman for the Lord, there'll be things you'll have to give up. If you're going to follow Jesus, there'll be things you'll have to leave behind. You'll have to make a choice that you're going to serve the Lord more than everything else, if this is what you want to do. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, this is another scripture now, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Oh, look at what he said. He gave them a challenge. That if you're going to come after me, you'll have to deny yourself, you'll have to take up my cross and follow me. And so we don't know what that cross may consist of, but we know that if we will follow him, we'll be not only saving our own lives, but we'll help to save others. Our lives will be rewarded with a great and eternal profit and gain at the end of our days in this world. He goes on to say here, this in Matthew 16, 24 through 26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Isn't that something to think about? If we don't choose to go with God, if we do not go the way God would have us go, just think, we'll lose our own life, our own soul, and then what could we gain to make up for it or to exchange for our soul? Nothing we may gain would ever repay us for the value of a human soul. Again, Jesus said here in John 12, 24, 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Speaking about our own life in this world, a natural life. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today for bringing this short gospel message to the listeners of those out there in radio land in this new year of 1979. Bless each listener. Give them a good year, a profitable year, a happy one in the things of God. Supply their needs and encourage their hearts. And for that which is accomplished, we'll surely give you the praise in Jesus' name. And so, friends, I say thank you for a few moments of your time. I hope this year will be your best year ever. May God bless you until we meet again. This is Willie Murphy saying a very cheerful goodbye.